I may have shared this with you, and it only hit me over this morning at the 9 o'clock service at Fort Meade, but this passage of 1 Samuel 16, it goes back a long way with me. I think it was the first text I ever preached from. I remember I preached it in seminary in the preaching class, and I got graded by my peers, so I don't think I flunked the class, but now I don't have the original sermon. I'd like to find it sometime to see how it's evolved since then. But, you know, with the Bible, I can preach the same verse for years, and it will always have some type of a different, it's like a prism and a chandelier. You can always see something new in it because of the Holy Spirit. But this is one of my all-time favorite passages in the Bible. You know, most people look for role models whether they admit it or not. I'm sure each of us has had some role models since we were just as long as we can remember. Some may admire sports figures or entertainers for their inspiration. However, positive role models are sadly lacking in our society today. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans have gone on to heaven, so what we have in their replacement are such luminaries as Madonna and Lady Gaga, Rob Zombie, and Jerry Springer. So those are role models for people today, if you can imagine that. One of the saddest things is there aren't a lot of positive role models even in average families. Most of us probably, my parents were role models for me growing up. Sadly, today, many families, and the term family must be used loosely in a modern definition, makes moral absolutes more murky and in the gray than ever before. You don't know, I know one time a number of years ago, I was at a church and family came in. I didn't really know them. Little boy came running up to me and he said, "I'm going to introduce you to my daddy." And I greeted him. I said, "Well, it's nice to meet your mommy." He said, "No, this is my third mommy." So I got my foot, you know, big shoe got taken out of my mouth, but it taught me a lesson. Things have changed so much. We are living in such a changing society today than what we did when we were growing up. And the Old Testament story about Samuel arriving in Bethlehem in search of a new king gives motivation to the premise that God may use anyone, whether young or old, to achieve his will. Samuel was sent by God on a traveling expedition or a search expedition, whichever way you want to look at, to locate a king who could fulfill the leadership role for the Israelites. It wasn't an easy job to do, and Samuel was actually the last judge in Israel. So on his shoulders, he felt this responsibility to clean up the mess that King Saul had created in the country. You must remember, King Saul was a raving lunatic. He had lost his wits somewhere along the way. So here was Samuel, who was the spiritual leader of the country. God called him forward, said, "Samuel, I need you again." And Samuel, loving God as Samuel did, took on that course to help find a new king for the country there. Samuel had witnessed the ignorance of his fellow Israelites in previously choosing a leader without God's guidance. So what happens if we take on an endeavor or decide to do something and we don't ask God about it? It can be dangerous, can't it? I tell young couples I've counseled for marriage, I said, "Have you spoke to the Lord about it to see if God wants you really marry them, each other?" Now, that's kind of like throwing a bucket of cold water, but we do so many silly things that we think our ambition is what counts. But we need to pull the reins in a little bit and think, well, what does God actually want me to do? And the children, the Israelites, they did not take God into consideration. So Samuel was the most respected person in Israel, though the Bible does not state it blatantly, but Saul may have felt intimidated by this elderly gentleman who commanded the loyalty of an entire nation. And Saul did not like competition. You know what happens when you get territorial, don't you? If people get territorial, they're dangerous. They're like a cat cornered. They start scratching. That's what happens with people a lot of times, is they're selfish. And they don't like I said, competition. But to fill the sandals of Samuel would require stamina, gumption, and discretion. Samuel treated the Israelites in a loving, paternal fashion. He took his role very seriously. Samuel was not perfect, but attempted his best. And this applies to anyone, whether it's a parent or a boss, a preacher or a mentor or a teacher, or whatever it is. None of us are perfect. And in essence, we all need to look out for one another, but it is through our actions that will reveal our devotion to God. The townspeople of Bethlehem heard that Samuel was coming to their town, which brought concern and alarm. To the people of Bethlehem, which we know that story very well at Christmas, Samuel was a composite of different people. It would be like the Pope and maybe the moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church and Billy Graham all rolled into one. He was that serious. If you got a visit from a judge, you really wondered, what's he doing here? And so that's what we ask sometimes when we see somebody and they're saying, I wonder what they're doing here. And that's what the people of Bethlehem was concerned, and it brought an alarm. Many of them thought something was gravely wrong and were literally trembling in their sandals. They didn't have shoes back then, so they had to tremble in sandals. The town council confronted him so they could diplomatically soothe any irritation that was required to be ironed out. However, Samuel had not traveled there to bring judgment upon their community, but to rectify justice for the entire nation. Now, Samuel's crucial position has not been emphasized enough in history. Samuel was the bridge that kept that country together through God's help. Here was an elderly person who should have been enjoying some peace and contentment, yet God called upon him to do a task that even younger people would have found exhausting. God literally retreaded Samuel like a tire. He wanted Samuel back into action. And it goes to show you something, and I think I said this in probably my first sermon here. There is no retirement age in the kingdom of heaven. God never wrote in the Bible that you had to retire when you retire from your actual secular job. God wants us to serve Him until the day we kick the bucket. And remember this, that you don't have to do the same thing that you did 30 years ago. I know somebody told me one time they've been teaching the same Sunday school class for 47 years. I said, well, did you ever think maybe that God may desire, want you to do something else in the church? Because so many times we get caught in a rut and we end up with burnout in the church. God doesn't want us to burn out. God wants to use us to God's full potential. Now, some days we may not feel much like doing something, but God will help us out in the long run. God will. And that's one of the most important things to keep in mind. In fact, this role that Samuel was asked to do by God was life-threatening. For you see, as I said, Saul was a lunatic, and he didn't like competition. So Samuel had to use his head, and with God's help, had to perform sort of a masquerade. So he got a cow, and he ended up bringing it to Bethlehem. He says, I've come to sacrifice. Well, that's a good ruse, because here was Samuel, the last judge. He could do that. He did not want Saul to find out what he was doing. Even at an elderly age, he was scared for his life. You know, I've heard some people say, I'm willing to die for the Lord anytime. But, you know, really, honest to goodness, we're here and called of God. And if God wants us to do something, God will make sure God will protect us from everything. God will. So don't ever forget that. There was no retirement for Samuel. And without Samuel's guidance and intercession, as I said, Israel would have fallen apart. Though the, you know, and God looked out after this old man. He really did. And so the townspeople were there listening to what Samuel was saying about a sacrifice. And he just told them blatantly that I want to do something for you all. And from that moment on, the host town was behind Samuel. So, but there was a man in Bethlehem named Jesse who had several sons, and Jesse and his family were well respected in their community, and his children were raised to honor God. According to the scripture, all his sons had movie star looks and were intelligent too, devoted to their family, the country, and work. It had been instilled in them from birth, and Jesse was a good role model with a genealogy which included Ruth and Boaz as ancestors. Samuel was a stabilizing factor for the nation in his position as judge. There's a Hindustani word called Mabapu, and it means mother and father. And during the days of the British Raj in India, this term was used to help govern and care for the country. And it signified the nurturing that was done. And for governing and ruling, it was an essential thing. For Samuel, he was Mabapu to the people of Israel. He was both mother and father to them. And that's why they loved him so much. He took care of them spiritually too. But however, Samuel, in choosing a new king, as I said, needed God's assistance. God demonstrated a fresh abundance of wisdom through unexpected sources. And you know, God has used some interesting things in the past. A burning bush to Moses. And then a young fella tending sheep in a meadow. After Jesse paraded his sons before him, Samuel was impressed by their handsome looks and character. However, God told him in so many words, and you've heard this, beauty is only skin deep, isn't it? And that's what God really told Samuel. Don't look on the outward appearance, but being human beings, guess what? We're all guilty of that at some time or other. You've never been in a shoe with somebody, a family brought in a young baby, for me to look at it, and this one baby, and I hate to sound this way, as the ugliest baby I ever saw in my life. And you know what I said? And I'm ashamed I said it when they had me looking. I said, yep, that's a baby, and everything. But they forgave me, and I baptized the baby eventually. And let me tell you this. You know the story about the ugly duckling by Hans Christian Andersen? That little baby girl turned out to be, she could have been Miss America. So sometimes we all jump the gun, and here I was, the king of the judges, they're calling a little baby ugly, not to their faces, but that's what I was thinking. So never, never underestimate what God can do for a person. And so Samuel was there, and Jesse had inadvertently forgotten about a younger son who was shepherding a flock of sheep in the meadow. Samuel met David, and you know the rest is history. Samuel anointed and blessed the future king who became a role model for a new generation. You know, no matter what position in life we hold, we could be role models to people even if we are not aware of it. You may have people in town or out in the county that look up to you. You may never know it, but that can happen. Someone usually watches us, and sometimes it's when we least expect it. But you know what? Our duty as children of God covers a lot of territory. But one thing is certain. To be a role model requires the dedication to model faith in order to bring every man, woman, or child into fulfilling his or her potential for God's glory, both in this life and the life to come. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, on this day, let us be reminded that we can be a Samuel too. We can be someone that will mend fences, someone, O Lord, that may share grace with others who need it. We pray, O Lord, that in our lives, faith and love will be watchwords for people to know us by. Help us, O Lord, as we minister to those in need, those who are hurting, those who need special care. We lift them up to you, O Lord, in Christ's name we pray, who taught us, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.